Hello and welcome to Beyond Markets by Julius Baer, a series featuring conversations with experts to share recent market developments, key insights, and strategic inputs from around the globe.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Julius Baer Beyond Markets podcast. Today we're talking about gold, and I'm joined by Carsten Menke, Head of Next Generation Research here at Julius Baer, and Chris Irwin, who is the Head of FX and Precious Metal Trading Asia. Thank you both. Thank you for joining us. So this morning, we're talking about gold. We were last here discussing gold in 2022, and quite a bit has happened since then, particularly in the last 8 weeks, where we see gold is up about 38% from its low in 2022. Why is that? What's going on?
Well, I guess that's the big question. And there's a number of factors which are certainly helping gold move higher. But for me, it's really unclear whether these factors are all sufficient to explain the moves we've seen. Because just to put it into perspective, only during the past 8 weeks, gold is up around 20%, which typically only happens in times of severe economic stress. So the start of the COVID pandemic, the great financial crisis, or the euro crisis. So I don't know, is there something we're missing here, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point about it's just really the last 8 weeks. So the first couple of months of the year, gold was actually relatively flat, and actually people were expecting it to move lower. We were also pricing in about 130 basis points of Fed cuts for the year. Now this has been shrunken to around less than 50 now, I think, around this week. And gold continues to now move higher. So I think it's a very good point that it's really performing very, very well, despite the fact that we're not maybe going to see as many cuts as we expected, but also if we look at the start of the year, with 130 basis points of cuts priced in, gold should have been really performing, but it really, really wasn't actually.
Do we know why? Any insights? You know, people like me who don't know that much about commodities and why the prices go up and down. I know gold is a safe haven. People tend to buy in bad market conditions, as you said, but it seems to be the complete opposite at the moment. Do we have any inkling as to why?
You're right. I mean, if you look at the markets overall, equities are at all-time highs, bonds, risky bonds are doing good. So this is not the kind of market environment where you would expect gold to perform. And in fact, we know for sure that Western world investors are not buying. So ETF holdings are down, physically backed ETF holdings are down. Coin sales are not getting up the ground. So at least we know the Western world is not buying, but of course there is also Asia and their central banks.
Yeah, I also think we're seeing a complete reverse this year of what we saw in 2020, where we saw a very big outflow from east to west of gold. So you really see that it's a fungible asset. China was selling heavily, but in 2020, 2021, ETFs were rising to all-time highs in the West. And now we're seeing almost a reversal of that. The gold is moving them back from west to east again. So the China demand we've been seeing over the last several years has been exceptional.
So what do you think is driving that demand in China?
I think for China, the economy's been particularly bad, especially coming off the COVID lockdowns. We've also seen the property crisis there over the last year. Rates in the banks are very, very low for savers. So you're actually particularly seeing young people flocking back to physical gold. And even anecdotally, I've seen these little gold beans they've been buying now because it allows them to invest smaller amounts. But traditionally, China's actually been pushing these savers to invest in gold for a longer period of time. It was very easy for you to set up a accumulation bank account to hold little grams of gold. So they really like to make sure their holdings are spread out amongst the population rather than just the central bank themselves holding the bigger bars.
But then you say it's young investors.
Yes.
So these are, in theory, retail investors.
Yes, actually, even young people are really flocking back to the safety of gold. We've seen in recent weeks, the demand's been very, very strong.
But that's then quite in contrast to the ETF picture that we see.
Indeed. I mean, well, we said before that financial markets are doing very well. That doesn't hold true for China, right? Because equities are in the doldrums. Some bonds have defaulted, especially the ones from property developers. Property, the largest asset class, is really down on its knees and it's unlikely to recover. So intuitively, there is the need to find a safe haven in China. However, the strength of Chinese demand already happened for most of last year. And the most recent data points from the China Gold Exchange in terms of physical deliveries, in terms of the domestic price premium in China, and also the trading volumes are rather pointing down again. So there is the story about China, but you can't really match the data, the most recent data, with the most recent increases in prices. So it's a bit of a conundrum here as well.
So what do we expect to see going forward then? Are we expecting gold to keep going? There must obviously be a point where people will stop investing and they see their chance of a good return going down.
Well, if you think about gold as an asset that should yield an economic return, then you're right. But there are very big buyers in the gold market who don't take it from an economic perspective, and that's central banks. Because we've seen after the start of the war in Ukraine, or the Russian invasion into Ukraine, we've seen the dollar being weaponized in the sense that the dollar assets of the Bank of Russia have been frozen. And since then, many central banks from the emerging markets have started to increase their gold reserves. And this is not about economics, that's about politics.
But actually, if you look at now, the dollarization, de-dollarization, basically, where people were worried about suspending their accounts, and you saw Russia move back heavily into gold from 2015. Now you're actually seeing countries like Singapore get involved in the gold market as well. They were increasing reserves where they've been very, very quiet for many, many years. Now they were buying, they were third, I think, best buyer of gold last year. But now even they're looking at the price, and they sold, I think, at the end of last year, some gold because the price was just so high. But you're definitely seeing other countries who are not affected by dollar freezing and going back into the market again.
I think this is an element of structural support which really lifts the floor for gold prices. But as Chris just said, I mean, also here, the first 2 or 3 months of the year rather point to a bit of slower buying from central banks, not stronger buying. So somewhat similar to China. So there is the narrative which is supporting the price, but the most recent data doesn't fully.
We also should probably talk about the weakening of the US dollar.
I think the dollar is a very big driver of gold prices, but I like to look at gold when it has its own narrative and its own story. And you see now gold performing against other currencies in euro, yen, CNH. It's really outperforming. And that for me is gold driving its own path rather than just being purely based on the dollar and US interest rates. So that's a very interesting narrative for me for gold now.
And it has decoupled from the dollar. It has decoupled from real interest rates in the US, from interest rate expectations. So these kind of traditional drivers of gold, they are not working at the moment.
I think more so in the last 8 weeks, as we've just completely moving, while US rates are moving completely opposite way. Yeah.
But also this interest rate cutting narrative, right? Because at first sight, there's the idea that if interest rate goes down, it is positive for gold because gold does not pay any interest. What we have done is go back and look at all rate cutting cycles since 1975 and how gold has performed 1 year later. Mm-hmm. And what we found out was, very interestingly, gold does well in an interest rate cutting cycle if the US falls into recession. So that's plus 15% on average. But if the US does not fall into recession and the Fed cuts nevertheless, gold is down 7% on average. And we at Julius Baer, we don't expect a U.S. recession. So that gives us even more of a hard time comprehending these kind of moves we see at the moment.
So then if we're thinking about our listeners, people who are investing, or they might have gold in their portfolio, a small little chunk in their bank vault, where do they go from here? What do they make of this market?
The speed of this move is exceptional. It's really, it's getting, yeah, beyond my expectations for the price. At one point now, it's a bit overblown, and every sort of indicator now, you look at technical analysis, it's very overbought. There's a very good chance we could see some sort of healthy correction in the next 2-3 weeks or even next several months. So yeah, I think the speed of this move above 2,400 is just, it's too fast for a healthy bull market.
And I think we also need to be very honest and say that the gold market is not only a place of safe haven seekers. It's also a place of speculators, right? So whenever a good trade is to be done, no matter if it's gold, silver, or any other market, these guys, hedge funds, commodity trading advisors, etc., come in, and we see that they have expanded their positioning quite a bit. So you might make the point similar to what Chris just said, that a lot of good news is priced in, and certainly you should not expect this kind of price momentum, this kind of speed, to persist during the next 8 weeks.
So it seems like we expect things to slow down a little bit.
There's a very good chance we can definitely have a correction, but honestly, I think the floor for gold might now be higher in reality, because it's just gone so much higher than above the 2000 level. And now maybe we're looking to a pullback. We can get down to 2200 easily, but is that going to be the new floor for gold? I'm not sure.
Well, I think that the question is one of the short term versus the medium and long term. And given the kind of euphoria we have in the market, given the kind of momentum we have in the market, prices might move a bit higher in the short term. That's entirely possible. But you've asked me about the medium to long term outlook, like 6 months, 12 months, I would say prices should be lower than what they are today. Not way lower, not much lower, but they should certainly be lower.
I would also say it's very important to look at something I find extremely as a good indicator for the precious metals market overall is the ratio of gold versus silver. So now it's still a relatively elevated level compared to historically on the last 30 years. So silver is catching up a little bit to this move, but historically the ratio I would think would be moving much lower if gold is going to have a much more sustainable bull market. So for me, I'm definitely watching that. If I can continue to see that ratio move lower, that would suggest to me that we are in a bull market for the whole precious metals complex rather than just being isolated to gold. Initially, on this move in March, you saw the gold-silver ratio move higher because it was just really gold moving first. Silver was very lagging the move. We've seen a little bit of a catch-up, but it's still not in the trajectory where it would suggest that longer-term price for the complex is higher.
I mean, I've certainly anecdotally heard that people are now moving to silver a little bit more.
That tends to happen. That's why the gold-silver ratio will move. And it's a good indicator because once gold becomes too expensive, then the investors will move into silver. So we've seen that recently in the last 2 weeks. And then we also saw investors moving back into platinum as well because silver also had moved and platinum was still relatively stable.
Is there anything else that we think is particularly pertinent to this topic of gold?
I think you can also throw in geopolitics, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think we are living in quite special times in terms of what's happening out there in the world. I mean, we made the reference or the link between gold and geopolitics before with regard to central banks. But obviously, if any of these conflicts which are out there, no matter if it's Russia, Ukraine, if it's Israel, Iran, or maybe even China, Taiwan, escalates to a degree which really impacts the economy and financial markets, then obviously this would also be something which is positive for gold. But if you have something which is only like hitting the headlines, short-term flare-ups, typically, this is nothing which is lastingly driving prices.
I think Carson and I also spoke on the initial Ukraine invasion in 2022, yeah. And we had looked at the impact of gold price that it had really taken off, but the move was faded very, very quickly. As Carson said, it hadn't really expanded beyond that immediate zone, but if it does get into a wider scale conflict, you would expect gold to perform. But these geopolitical headlines have typically been faded very, very quickly in the last 2 years with initially Ukraine and then Gaza. It was an initial spike and then comes off again.
So gold is seeming to be a little bit less sensitive to these geopolitical events.
It definitely reacts initially, but as he said, if it moves into a wider conflict, you would expect gold to really act as a proper safe haven.
And I think it's, as always in financial markets, separating the signal from the noise. And that makes it very difficult, especially for an asset like gold, where a lot of emotions and where a lot of sentiment always plays an important role.
So if we are to sum it up, and I know this will be difficult because it's a very complex topic with a lot of unknowns at the moment, but what is the one key takeaway that listeners should have from our discussion today?
Well, I think that the long-term floor for gold prices is certainly higher because we have structural support from central banks and also from Chinese buyers. But I'd refrain from calling this a long-term structural uptrend in gold prices.
For me, I would say we have to look at the theme of the last 2 years, and that would be that central banks are back in the market again. And we can't ignore that fact that almost every country is looking at gold as a hard asset again. And for me, that's been lagging for the last several years.
Then that would lead me to say thank you to you both for joining us today. And thank you to everybody at home for listening. Thank you and goodbye.
You have been listening to Beyond Markets by Julius Baer. If you like what you heard, subscribe to our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. To learn more about Julius Baer, our people, our latest thinking, visit us at www.juliusbaer.com. We will be back with a brand new episode soon. The information and opinions expressed in this podcast constitute marketing material and are not the result of independent financial or investment research. Please refer to www.juliusbear.com/legal/podcasts for further important legal information.